Well, as I was looking at our text, the first thing that came to my mind was this whole idea of being called. And it makes sense. I mean, we have the call of Abram, subsequently named Abraham in the Old Testament. And then we have the call of Matthew. We have Paul talking about this call. And so I thought, have you been called? And have I? And the thing about calls is that they're kind of tricky. Well, actually, they're really tricky in lots of ways, because being called doesn't always come in the ways we might want it to. And I'll explain that in the... For all of you who were adolescents at some point, which I think includes all of us, I don't know who will eventually listen to this. If you were in the middle of adolescence, you have my deepest sympathy. But there's a... some point, somebody told you, don't you know that person is interested in you? And you said, huh? What do you mean? Well, it turned out this person who was interested in you has been not exactly stalking you or anything foolish like that, but they've been saying things, they've been dropping hints, and you have missed them entirely. So were you called by that person? Well, yes, you were. You just didn't see it. And so I like to use that as just a way of considering this whole idea of the call of God. Because depending on which tradition you grow up in, this is a fraught question. If you were not called, then... in some systems, you're doomed. There's nothing you can do. Double predestinarian belief structures suggest that God calls you or doesn't, and there's no option. In less strict views, often you get this idea that every person needs to have a specific punctiliar call, a time when they were just like Abraham, and God says, hey, I've got things for you to do. And if you can't point to that moment, then it's a cause of great uncertainty, which is unfortunate. Because not everybody gets a call like Abraham got. Hardly any of us have had God in some divine aspect come and tap us on the shoulder and say, this is what I want you to do. Because it takes something other than that. It also includes what Paul talks about sort of in a roundabout way, that this call also involves faith. And without faith, Paul says that we don't really have anything. We have to trust God. And Paul gets in a very confusing bit of circular thinking in this part of Romans, as he sometimes does, including the line that is frequently taken out of context as well. You're better off with no law at all, because law just makes you sin. Which, I mean, Paul says it, but that's not exactly what he's getting at. Paul is more saying that without a law, how do you know what is what? What's good? What's bad? I mean, how do you know you're speeding if there isn't a sign? How do you know you should stop if there isn't a red light? I mean, we need these things, and that's more what Paul's getting at. But then to flip over to Matthew, we have the calling of Matthew, where Jesus went to a man called Matthew, who was a tax collector, and calls him to follow him. And what I find interesting in these two sort of very explicit calls, we have God speaking to Abram on one side and Jesus speaking to Matthew on the other, is we have God talking to a man who was considered righteous more or less by everybody. Like, people looked at Abram and said, this is a good man. He's done what he should do. He's somebody to follow. He's somebody to trust. And on the other hand, you have Matthew, who is a filthy collaborator with the Romans, oppressing his own people and stealing from them. And I sometimes think that these two are put in juxtaposition to remind us that God calls everyone. Maybe we're closer to Abram, maybe we're closer to Matthew, but it's this continuum that really, in a sense, sort of encompasses all human beings. And this kind of call also is very, very unusual. Not that many people have been called by someone, well, very few people have been called by Jesus, because Jesus in his corporeal sense is no longer with us, but very seldom have people been called by someone who is, in a sense, bringing a message directly from the Christ to you. You'll have lots of people who tell you that they know what God has for you. I don't know if you remember the four spiritual laws back from the 70s. There was a delightful, if you're this kind of person, parody put around. Because the first law is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And the parody was God loves you and has a wonderful man for your wife. Which, needless to say, this was a hit in Bible colleges everywhere. And it still exists. If you look far enough, you can find it. But what this is getting at is that God loves us all and has something in mind for us. Now, it's a bit of an open question whether God has laid out a plan that you can walk in sort of step by step. Sometimes that seems to be the case. Sometimes people are called very strongly to a particular thing at a particular time in a particular way. But for most of us, the call that we received is much more wide than that. It's broader than that. And it's a lot like trying to understand the difference between God's desire for you to become the person you were created to be and sort of command every step that you take. And I used to use this with Bible college students who were concerned about what they needed to do and all of these things. And I said, well, you need to understand that God is, and I mean this in the best sense possible, is uninterested in most of your decisions. Most of the time, God does not care what you wear to class, is what I used to tell them. You just have to be clothed. Like, that's, God doesn't care if you wear the blue shirt, whether you wear a skirt, whether you wear, you know, jeans, whatever. It just doesn't matter to God. That's just this big, open question. And I think for a lot of people, they get sometimes, oh, no, I shouldn't say a lot. I've run across people who have gotten caught up in this idea that God has a moment-by-moment plan for them. And while I'm not saying that's impossible, it doesn't match most of my experience with godly people who have grown in their faith. And when you look at them, you say, wow, you have become even more and more what you were created to be. Because what God often does is gives us a direction. God doesn't so much say, take a step with your right foot and now your left foot and all that. God says, I want you to be the kind of person that people turn to when they have worries. I want you to do what it is that you can do to become the kind of person who provides comfort to people who are concerned about the future, concerned about anything. And so you'll run across these people, and I know you have, who have that sense of comfort when you are in a rough time. They may not be telling you exactly what you need to do next, and often you don't want them to do that. These are the people who will sit beside you saying nothing as you both are just there, and when they get up and leave, you feel better. Is that a spiritual gift? I think it could be. Is it the kind of person that simply radiates calm and a sense that things are not out of control, that things are not all bad, that there's always the possibility of good? I don't know what I was called. I used to think I know what I was called to do. And everything that I felt I was called to do, I've never done. Really, when it comes right down to it. So what do I do with that? Well, I've got a couple of options. The first is to assume that that is what I was called to do, and I've been committing sin by not doing it like Jonah ever since. And it's just a matter of time before I get swallowed by a really big fish. That is an unwise conclusion to arrive, And I'll even go so far as to say it's wrong. I felt called to various things that moved me in a direction that has me here today, and I wouldn't be anywhere else. The road has been filled with joys and delights and the occasional tragedy and lots of tedium. But when I look back at these calls that were closer to like the call of Abraham or the call of Matthew, what I see is I see God looking at me and going, well, I could tell him that I just want him to be a decent human being and go to school and get some education and hang out with good people and try and become better. But he won't hear that because that's not something he's going to hear. And I wouldn't, because that wasn't me at that point. I was not interested in anything as hard to get a hold of as you're going to become a good person, you're going to marry another good person, you're going to produce good people and try and make the world a better place wherever you happen to be. That just wasn't dramatic enough. Maybe that's not the word. Certainly wasn't clear cut enough. So instead I got a call to missions, which I never went on. But it got me to the next step. In some ways, God calls many of us, even some people in Scripture. When Jesus called Matthew, he said, I want you to come and follow me. He didn't say, I want you to come and become a disciple. He didn't say, I want you to follow me, learn what I say, so eventually the Romans will kill you for saying it. Because Matthew probably would have balked at that. I think I would have. But Matthew, in a very real sense, got a call that he could hear and that he could do. Jesus said, follow me. And when I think about this, have you been called and have I? Yes, you have and so have I. But we've been called to follow Jesus. It may be more detailed for some of you, and if it is, that's wonderful. But what we've been called to do, and what we've all been called to do, and what we know we've been called to do, is to follow Jesus. Because it's by following Jesus that we end up where we're supposed to go. Like Mother Teresa, who said, I was never called to the poor, I was called to follow Jesus, and I followed Jesus to the poor. I never felt called to be a lay missionary in the Presbyterian Church. I just followed Jesus, and here I am today. I was never told I was going to have 3 children. I was never told I was going to work in this place or that place or anything else. But I didn't have to be told because I was following Jesus. And that's how I ended up where I both was and am. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Because some of the stuff's been hard along the way. And I know it has for each of you. And I think if I would have been told some of the hard stuff, I might have just changed my mind. Even if I've been told the good stuff too, I'm one of the people who sees a half empty glass. At least I'm working on it, but that's sort of my general tendency. I might not have followed. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say anything to me aloud. But what I got, the sense I got was just follow me. It'll work out. It'll be okay. Didn't say it would be a barrel of laughs. Didn't say it would be a trail of tears. Said, follow me. It'll be okay. And at this stage of life, I've followed Jesus for a while now. And I've had some ups and downs. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be where we are. Because we've followed Jesus to where we are. Becoming more and more the people we were created to be. Just by following. Which is a good thing, not just because it's easy, but really because it's the only way it works. Oh, man.